Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi, Steve. Great. And we're happy to be back here for another broadcast of The Gift of Grace, and we're going to have an interesting show, different than we normally do. In fact, this week, tonight's show and next week's show will be a little bit of, would be a little different. As if you've been with us the last few weeks, we've been teaching through the book of Romans, and we're not going to do that tonight, and we're not going to do that next week, so you can all relax. And we have a very special show tonight. We have a very special guest who has come all the way from Israel, all the way from northern Galilee, in a town called Kiryat Shemona, which is on the Lebanese border. So we'll give you a second to picture that. And he is Pastor Adol Sapir, and he is here with us. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, how are you?
Great. And we are really happy to be here with him. He's been here this week and speaking in some churches, and we're going to have some more work for him to do the next few days and next week back on the radio show. But we're going to get to know him a little bit better because he's not originally from Israel. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you grew up?
Okay. Hello, guys. I'm very happy to be here and very glad to be in the States. It's my first time here, but I'm so excited. My name is Adol Sapir. I was growing in Uzbekistan. I was born in Uzbekistan and growing until age 21. I was staying there. And Uzbekistan is one of the 15 republics in the Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. So I was born in 77, so it was Soviet Union still. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know about God, nothing, you know, because for Soviet Union it was no God, no faith. Mm-hmm. And I was growing in such a regular family, but my mom, she was always believing God. So for me, like looking at her, it was understood that God exists. So she was always in the early morning was praying for our family, for our father and children. I have three sisters and mom and pop. I was, you know, was growing in this such atmosphere that God exists. Mm-hmm. So at age 13, when I was my father, he just passed away, and it was very hard for us because he was very strong person with strong character. And I was so, you know, feeling what I was lost myself. I was standing in my room at August evening, and I was looking at heaven, and I was crying for my father, you know, that he's just passed away. And suddenly, I don't know why and how, but I just from deeply points of my heart, I just start to say to God, Lord, I'm just open my heart and just asking you to come to my heart. It was very unusual for me because I never just point to God in this way. Mm-hmm. But I know now that was my first sinner's prayer, that I was a point to God and ask him to be in my life. Mm-hmm. So from this moment, my life is changed. Mm-hmm. Yes. At age 14, I entered to the military school, military college in Tashkent. And then I spent actually 6.5 years in military. I was studying. God just was blessing this time because during this time I spent 2 years in Turkey in military college, because our government sent us there. Mm-hmm. And it was time for me that I was seeking God. You know, the Turkey was a Muslim country, right. So I was surrounded with Muslim people, and I actually was from Muslim family, you know, yeah. My father was Muslim. And for me, it was good, you know, it was cool to, you know, to seek God in a Muslim way. But actually, I didn't find God, you know. I was just coming deeper and deeper in the religion, you know. And praise God, God just took me out. We came back to Tashkent, and I entered to the military high school. And at the first course of my studying in this school, my mom came to me and said, okay, let's go to church. I said, what? You know, what is this church? You can't go to church. We are Muslim, you know. She says, you know what? I found God there. And for me, it was something special, something serious, because if my mom was says that she found God, it was, you know, very, very strong word for me. So I decided to come with her and just, you know, to help her to get there. And first time, several times I came to church and I just starting hear what pastors and teachers were saying to me, to all people. And actually, my first decision to have the peace with God was, you know, running from the hell, you know. I didn't want to go to hell. So it was my decision. Okay. I understood if I want to be, not to go to hell, I have to receive Jesus. Okay. So I came to altar and received Jesus. And from this moment, God started very, very deeply work in my life. It was very interesting.
Was this after you were in the military?
I still was in the military. I was in the military high school on the first course, you know. Our government, didn't allow the army to be involved in the region, but still I was keeping it in secret, you know. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was good time that God was teaching me very, very important things
now,
in my life.
Were there very many Christians there at the time?
You know, it was early 1919, so the Iron Curtain just was removed.
Right.
And the churches start to grow very fast. People were so hungry for gospel. And actually even in Muslim way in Christianity, that there were very, very growth so fast, everything, you know. And it was a time of, you know, everybody was start to run to God, because everybody was, you know, 70 years without God, and it was, you know, hunger for God.
Right.
So it was a very, very, very cool time for us to have this relationship with God.
What was it like when the Iron Curtain fell? What was it like? Was it just a fast, it happened very fast in the former Soviet Union, that just this freedom for religion and freedom for worshiping God came in, or did it happen gradually, or?
It was very fast, you know. When this republic received this independence, the freedom came. You know, freedom came, and suddenly people understood that they need God, and the churches were growing. You know, so fast. Many churches, and people were running to the churches, and it was a good time for the hunger for God.
Now, did missionaries come in?
Yes, exactly. It was a time that many missionaries were coming from the States, from different Europe, and many the preaching. It was a time because God just, you know, gave this miracle for Soviet people. It was millions of people who were had hunger for God, and it was very important time for God, I think, because many people came this time and just had this covenant with God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did the mosques grow as well? Islam grow as well?
Yes. Yes. The same way, there's also Muslim way, the Muslim faith that region were also growing. So, you know, it was very, very good time with God, because God was teaching me very, very important things in my life. I always believed in God, but from this moment that I came and received Jesus as my savior, and I start studying reading Bible, it was a time that God was cleaning my mind, changed my life. You know, it was very good. But then, you know, it came time that I was 19. I almost was 3 years in a military high school. And at age 19, my mom passed away. So it was very hard for me, very difficult for me time, and very difficult time for me. And I was, you know, very disappointed with army, and I left army. I started to look for work, and I received work in a very high-level restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The owner of this restaurant was this daughter of president in this country. So, you know, it was very high level. And that's why I was speaking Hebrew, English, and Russian, and Uzbek language. I was growing, you know, fast in this industry. And they invited me to work in a bar, and then I became a manager of bar. But this was 3 years that I was so very far from God, you know. The world tried to have me, you know, in every different ways.
Yes.
Enemy would try to stole my faith and all this stuff. And I was doing very bad things. I was very ashamed now for all these things. But I know now that God allowed me to pass all these things because now I know how to help these people who has this such a problem that I had. So it was, you know, interesting time. And one Baptist guy came to me and he told me that he need to speak with me and send me something. I was a little bit, you know, suspicious to all these things. And I said, okay, let's go out and just speak. And when he told me, okay, I do, I saw the vision about you. And I said, okay, what kind of vision you saw me? And he says, I saw you in a vision that you was walking by corridor, and it was darkness by the end of corridor, and you start to slump for one leg, and then for a while you start to slump for both legs. And then I heard the voice of God that says, go to this man, tell him to stop. Otherwise, he will fall down in the darkness and not come back. And it was like, for me, like it was like a cold water came to me, you know, just make me up, you know, because it was like a, you know, I was sleeping in a sin, you know, full of the sin. And I heard these things that God just sent to this, to this Baptist guy. I was so, you know, it was so serious for me. And deeply inside, I heard this voice. It's my last warning to you. And I understood that's from God. And I said to myself, okay, I should not play a game with God. I should stop. And I tried to do this, you know, quick all this bad relationship and all the stuff. And God just miraculously way just took me from this place and just, you know, and after this, I was meeting with this guy, I went to the church, I ran to the church, and I, when this basket with the offerings was coming near to me, I just, without accounting, just throw the money to this basket, and then I heard the voice, don't bring the unclean money to my house, because it was, you know, I was earning this in the wrong way, this money. That was not good money. So I was so afraid. I said, oh God, you know, it's only work that I have now. It's only way I can bring money to my family. And, I don't have any other opportunities to earn money. So please give me this such a work that I can earn the clean money and bring the tithes in the right way. And after this, I was so, you know, from deepest of my heart was prayer to God. And after this, you know, God was running us to come to Israel. Actually, I was the man who told my wife, let's go and make repatriation to Israel.
Wow.
When I met her the first time and she mentioned me that they thinking about make repatriation to Israel, I said to her, forget about this. I'm going to stay in Uzbekistan, in Tashkent, because it's my country, you know.
Is your wife Jewish?
Yes, my wife was Jewish. Yeah.
I see.
So, but in this moment, it was different. I came to her and said, okay, let's go, because God closed all the doors. I couldn't get any jobs, nothing, you know. I understood that's God, you know. And after maybe two and a half months, God just brought us miraculously to this country, to Israel. It was 1999, November. And I start to work, you know, in the right work and bring the clean ties to the church, you know.
So you went to Israel without knowing where you were going to go or what you were going to do when you got there?
No, actually, we had the family of my wife.
Ah,
the,
I see.
Yeah, her uncles and all the family. They were living in Golan Heights almost 10 years. So they came to this kibbutz, kibbutz Elrom. And I spent 1 week there, and I said, okay, I have to go somewhere where the people, you know, kibbutz, it's very small community, and it's not such much people there. So I just asked to bring me to the small town, at least, you know. And we came down to Kiryat Shmona, and actually I love this city, and we just rent an apartment there. And almost 13 years we are living in Kiryat Shmona.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yes.
As you know, Stephen and I always talk about the kingdom and how each person comes into the kingdom and the Lord gives them different gifts and has different plans for them. And this is a great example of somebody who's in Uzbekistan and ends up in Israel.
Yes.
In a town by the Lebanese border.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was wondering why God just brought me to this city. You know, it was a very small city. It's still, you know, a small city according to the, for example, Tel Aviv, it's more 300,000 people, you know, almost 500,000. And we're just 25,000, you know. I was, oh God, I was living, you know, in Tashkent. There was a 3 million people, you know. It was a huge city. Mm-hmm. Why you brought me to this village, you know? What's wrong, you know? But praise God, he knows why, you know. And I'm so excited that God just let me stay there with my family.
Now, were you pastoring at all? Were you pastoring any churches or congregations at all when you got there or no?
No. I was starting to search for a church because there was nobody, you know, no church in Kiryat Shmona. And it was like a dry river without water, you know. Oh God, where are you? And God was real working in my heart, you know, and just, I understood that's something special why God brought me to this holy land, you know. And I was so honored by this, you know, that God allowed me to be there. And I understood that it's a new life starts here. I have to be serious with God. Because it's his own land, you know, it's holy land, it's a Bible land. So, I was started to seek the, and search for church, but nobody could help me, you know. And, finally I was working in a factory and I was, speaking with other people about, Jesus. I was sharing. And one guy came to me and said, you know what? I have a sister in Carmel. And she's the same crazy about Jesus like you. So let you have this meeting, you know. And one Shabbat, he took me to this Carmel.
Now, were you speaking Hebrew then?
Yeah, I was start to learn Hebrew because it was only first year.
Yeah.
Actually, English helped me a lot because it was first English. And then I was studying very hard, you know, Hebrew. I wanted to know Hebrew. And I was learning, you know, and God just blessed me. I started to speak Hebrew after maybe on the second year.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, go ahead. So you went for Shabbat.
Yeah, I went to Shabbat, you know, one Shabbat with this unbeliever guy. He was unbeliever. He didn't believe in God, you know, because his sister, she was believer. Actually, it's Pastor Jana, and she's a second pastor in our congregation, Carmel. And I came to this meeting. I spent one hour there, and pastor came to me. Pastor Irene's husband, Seva, and says, you know, you are new in our congregation. Where are you from? That I am from Kiryat Shmona. I said, oh, we have the home group there, you know. I was, oh, really? Could you please give me the number of this pastor and all this leader of the group? So I started to come with my wife to this home group in home church in Kiryat Shmona. And then, 9 years ago, I was crazy about evangelism because I was feeling in my heart that everybody have to be, you know, saved. Yeah. But it was so hard, so difficult way to speak about Jesus in Israel. It was very difficult way, you know. Not the same that in Tashkent, you know, you can walk, on the streets in Tashkent and speak about Jesus freely, and everybody know who is Jesus.
Mm.
And in Israel, it's forbidden, you know. It's something not for Jews, they said. So God was teaching me how to do this.
Yeah, wow, that's fascinating. Wow. Oh, I hear Paul Wilbur. So,
is he here?
No, he's not here. We're coming up on our first break. Wow, this is very good, Pastor. This is a great story.
This is excellent.
Yeah. After this break, we'll get back and have him explain what happened to him next in his town of Kiryat Shemona. But first, we're going to listen to Paul Wilbur. This is The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. You can find us online at giftofgraceministries.org. And you can also find us on Facebook if you want to leave us a comment, but only if they're nice. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word. Why should I be afraid? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here with Stephen Garchar and our very special guest, Pastor Adil, who is telling us about his arrival in the land of Israel and how he ended up going to a Shabbat service. That's a Saturday morning Sabbath service at a congregation of Jewish believers in a town which is nearby where he lived. And he went back to his town where there was a home group.
Yes.
So what happened then?
So we start to come to church and with my wife and my daughter. And Pastor Irene from Carmel, she just realized and saw the call in my life about evangelism. So we are making many outreaches in our northern part of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very hard because it was, you know, people were so closed for evangelism. Mm. They were so afraid because many rabbis, you know, Orthodox rabbis, they were trying to get afraid people from believing Jesus, you know. And anyway, 9 years ago, I ordained as evangelist, and we spent 3 wonderful years in trying to get this different kind of outreaches. And then the war came, 2006. Second Lebanon War, and actually it was very hard.
And you're right on the border.
Yes, my city is Kiryat Shmona. It's 9 kilometers far from Lebanon, and actually Hezbollah start war with Kiryat Shmona, and they finished war with Kiryat Shmona.
Hmm.
And 1,211 Katyushas came actually to our city.
Wow.
But you know what? Praise God, nobody was hurt, you know. Nobody was killed, you know. God just kept all our people, you know, in his hand.
Amen.
And I know that's because all the Christians and around the world were praying very, very serious way about Israel. And I'm so appreciative of those who just was dedicated to prayer, because God made a lot of miracles in our city. My neighbor in front of me, you know, in our apartment, their parents just came from Ukraine, made aliyah, and they were in apartment. And two or three seconds before that Katyusha came to their house, they just leave this room. Mm. And in after this, just Katyusha just crashed all this, you know, house, and they were saved. Praise God. And I heard many, many miracles about all this stuff, that the whole families were staying in a room, and just somebody like, you know, like taking them out, and the Katyusha was coming. It's like angels, you know, were walking, you know, through these prayers. Yeah. And a lot of, by myself, me and my wife, we were driving car from our city to Golan Heights, because our family was there. And Katyusha came in 20 meters after us, and it was like, you know, was terrible.
Mm.
And praise God, and God was keep us in his hand, and many miracles have. Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, we had many destroyed houses and buildings, but still God was keeping the Israel people and saved many of them.
So no loss of life after even 1,200 rockets. No loss of life.
Wow. Yes.
Praise God.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
But you read a lot of accounts of God doing miracles during the wars, big wars.
Yes.
You know, 48, yes. 56, 67,
yes.
73.
Many, many.
Where, you know, a small group of Israeli soldiers would defeat huge Arab armies, far overwhelming in force, and they would win.
Yeah. Yes.
And many soldiers would say they couldn't believe how everything happened.
Yes. Actually, I heard one testimony from one military man. He was in our army, and they just catched one Syrian officer, and they were asking him why they didn't attack, you know, certain platoon. There was only platoon, about 30 soldiers, Israel soldiers, and he told them, "Oh, I saw the thousands, you know, I saw the thousand soldiers. That's why we were just afraid to come." He said, "No, we just one platoon, you know, only 30 people." She says, no, I look in binocle, you know, all this optical, and I saw many of you. So you see, God was, you know, making miracles and just multiplying, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It was amazing, you know.
Wow.
God is for Israel. Amen. Yeah. It's his land. It's his people.
It's his favorite piece of land in the whole
earth. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm so honored to live there, because, you know, it's epicenter, you know, of the world.
Yes.
I can say it. It's, it's epicenter.
It's the apple of his eye. And,
yes.
Yeah.
And nobody can change it, you know. God just decided to these things be so. So it's working this way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that's a so small country, and everybody speaks about this.
That's
like,
right.
You know, it's like an epicenter.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Well, there's so many prophecies about it. And, you know, the one that always sticks in my mind is Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling for all the nations.
Oh, yeah.
All the nations are worried about Jerusalem.
Oh, yeah.
When you think about it, it's an insignificant city. It's a small country.
Yes.
I mean, look how big our country is. Look how big the Soviet Union was.
Yeah.
You could put how many thousands of Israels inside the Soviet Union?
Oh,
many, many, many thousands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the most important land.
Mm-hmm. So what happened after, or when you started going to church, how long was it before you started pastoring and what was it like in the city that you were living in?
After the war, and we had the 31 day of this bombing, and this was terrible. After the war, you know, after in November, Pastor Irene called to me and says, "You know, Adil, one of humanitarian organization from this America, they want to open a center for helping people in Kiryat Shmona, because in the wartime, there was no humanitarian centers, and they wanted to come, but they couldn't because no facilities was there."
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I have to pray about this, because, you know, I was working in a factory.
Mm-hmm.
my wife was working. We had already two children, you know, and it was a challenge for me to make this such a step of faith. And I went to my prayer room and I said, okay, God, what is this? What is the new door that you are opening for us, for Kiryat Shmona? Why you want us to be involved? And, you know, I just were praying and asked, if you, Lord, want us to open this center, let this be a place that the people will get saved, their souls, you know, because like it be a church, you know. And I have such a peace on my heart for this prayer, after this prayer. And I call back to Pastor and say, okay, I just want one request. Let them allow us to share with gospel in this place, because otherwise I don't need this place. You know, I can't allow myself to spend time without preaching gospel. You know?
Amen.
And actually, she called back to Jerusalem to speak with these people. And they said, oh, that's our desire, to use our humanitarian centers for gospel, to preach to people about and share with the love of God.
Now, which organization was
it's
that?
It's Joseph Project.
Joseph Project.
Joseph
yes,
Project, yeah.
The,
Joseph
Messianic
Project.
Jewish
yes,
Alliance
yes,
of America.
They are very, yeah.
Joel Chernoff, yes, who was yes, almost on this radio show.
Yes.
He talks a lot about it, and it really expanded it a lot in the last few years. But
yes.
Go ahead.
So we just opened this new humanitarian center, and me, my wife, and one sister, she was with us always, and we just three of us started this center.
Wow!
But for me, it was very hard because I was working the shifts in on a factory. I was after the night work, I have to come to this center and work in this center for people. And I was get tired after 1 month, you know, all this, it was too much for me. And I started to pray, God, please, you know, do something, you know, you open this door, but it's so hard for me. Mm-hmm. And God immediately made this miracle on my factory. The guy was, who was working in the warehouse, he just suddenly decided to leave, you know, and, I just said, okay, that's for me, you know, because only a morning shift, that's I just from 7 to 4, that's in a good, the car and all the stuff. And it's good for me. So I got this job by miracle, you know, and I had this time for a center. So I could come and work in a normal way, you know, in the evening and, preaching gospel, you know, to meet people. Uh-huh. And slowly, step by step, God just was touching people.
So you gave them food and clothing?
No, not,
or what
just
did you...
clothing. Just clothing, because no food, you know, we didn't have food. Food, we started with the Ebenezer Project. Ebenezer organization came to us and said, okay, we want to help you also. So they allowed us to help the first 30 families who are in need, and we start to help them also. And in this way, the people in Kiryat Shmona start to know about us. But they were very, very suspicious of us, because you know, they were know that we are believing in Jesus. It was very slowly, but we keep going to pray, and God just start to grow the people in congregation, and that's people that became the key persons, you know, that's like a foundation, good foundation for the church.
So they came because they were in need.
Yes, you know, they were coming for help, and we used this opportunity to share about gospel and that God loves them. And God was touching these people, not all of them, you know, of course, but many of them. So we were helping this way 2 years, 2.5 years. And then the other organization, Joshua Fund, they came to us and they said, okay, we want also help to spread gospel in your city, how we can help. And I already know that's a good stuff, have the project, food project, because it's, you know, when you bless people with unconditional love, it's changed their minds. It's when you don't ask nothing, you know, you don't say, oh, you have now to come to our church. No, we just bless them and keep blessing them. And this was that, you know, what God was showing us how to operate. And when these guys came to us, Joshua Fund, they asked, how can we help you to preach gospel more? And I tell them through this food project.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to help us, and we started to, we ran the bigger building industrial area, and we started this project. Mm-hmm. We had 150 families. Then after 2 months, we grew to 250 families, and now we helped to 650 families. It's, wow, it's about 1,200 people, wow, who comes to us.
And that's every month?
Every month. Yeah, wow, every month. And we are now praying for it and make it double.
Wow.
Make it double.
And were you doing worship there as well, or just?
You know, no. According to the law of Israel, you can't preach, mm-hmm, when you give something, you know, like a humanitarian help.
Mm-hmm.
It's forbidden. And we know about this. And I was wondering how, you know, how can preach to them, to these people about Jesus, because it's, mm-hmm, forbidden. But God, you know, he knows how to do this. And we just shared with our love, you know, we just blessed them.
Mm.
When they were coming, we says, God bless you. They were leaving. We said, God loves you. Mm-hmm. And no, it was almost 7 months, but, you know, they were trying to understand why we help them with nothing, you know, asking back.
Right.
What is this? You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very unusual for Israel. Usually, if you help, you want to something back, right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here too.
Yeah. Yeah. And suddenly there is some, you know, that we are just help without, you know, nothing, you know, wow, just love,
awesome,
them.
Wow. That's awesome.
And after 7 months, just, you know, atmosphere just changed. People start to come to us, mm, with open heart, like home, you know, like at home. And it was wonderful. Wow. Yeah, wonderful.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wow.
But we're coming up on another break. I can't believe we have two segments already done.
Yeah.
So we're going to have you listen to some more Paul Wilbur music. We'll be back in a minute or so, and we'll have Pastor Adele continue his story here on The Word 1220.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Lord, hear the cry of our hearts. Come, O conquering King. And every eye will see Your glory fill the sky. Raises lifted on high. Hear the beautiful gates, long to see You arise. And all of Zion sings, Baruch Haba Hashem. You are Lord over all the earth. You are Lord over all the earth.
You are Lord, you are Lord,
you are Lord.
Well, welcome Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Well, we're having such an awesome show here with Pastor Adol, who is in northern Israel in the town of Kiryat Shemona, and has a congregation there of mostly Jewish believers, but I think some Gentiles too, called River of Living Waters. And we'll just let him go on with his story. He was talking about how they had set up a center to give away clothing and later food, and they were blessing the people that lived around them that were not believers in Jesus as Messiah.
Yes.
So why don't you go on from there?
So, you know, 3 years ago, actually, yeah, 3 years ago, we were on a prayer at a meeting in our church, and we received word from God, and Lord told us to start to pray around the city, because we need to some changes in our city, you know. Because atmosphere, the atmosphere was so hard, you know, to preach gospel. It was like, you know, some all these evil spirits were coming against, you know.
Spiritual warfare.
Yes. And we received this word from God and asked, okay, how can we do this? And the Holy Spirit told us to make 7 circles once in a month.
Wow.
So we jumped to the car and just start to make these circles. I can tell you that, you know, I was almost there. 10 years a believer, but never I had this such a warfare, you know, as struggling as in this time. 4 months it took us 4 months to pray around the city, and on the 4 months, on the 4th circle, God just gave us the breakthrough. You know, we just feel this, how the atmosphere just like the heaven was open, you know.
Wow.
And God just removed something from the heaven, you know, and we just feel that's like a wow. Something is coming. And we continue to pray the first year, and when we finished first year, I came in prayer to God. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want us next? And Holy Spirit told me, you know, double it, make it twice.
Wow.
So the next year we were praying twice, 7 circles around the city.
Wow.
We were making this early in the morning, and it was good, you know. We just increased in the prayer. And when we finished second year, I came to the Lord next in the prayer, say, okay, Lord, we finished 2 years, what's next? And Holy Spirit told me, open the book of Joshua and go to the chapter 6 and read very carefully. So I opened this chapter, and I saw that God was telling to Jews, making 1 circle in 1 day and coming back to camp, and next morning again one circle around Jericho, and come back 6 days, 1 circles on Shabbat, 7 circles. So I said, okay, 6 plus 7, it's about 13 circles around the city. Okay. And we start to do this. Actually, on the 3rd year, now we are on the 3rd year, we are choosing 1 week, and we are jumping on a car and make 1 circle in the morning, prayer, and on the Shabbat, we have 7 circles. And you know what happened? You know, it's amazing, you know.
Wow.
First of all, we start to see how the Kiryat Shmona start to change, you know. God removed the bad mayor. He was a very corrupted mayor in our city.
Mm-hmm.
And God just removed this guy and replaced the new one. And we had so many changes.
Praise God.
And what has happened? It's so fun. Our team, the football team of our city, was, you know, almost on the last place in the league of Israel football.
Yeah.
You can imagine, guys, that through in these 3 years, God brought our team on the first place of the Liga in Israel.
Wow.
It was like, you know, it was, wow, God, what is...
Even the football team was blessed.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You know, actually, we didn't pray about this. I don't like football, you know. I don't care about football. But that was... We were blessing the city.
God's blessing just overflow.
Yeah.
And God just doing tremendous things.
Wow.
You have to see the Kiryat Shmona now. It's a beautiful city. God just brought this all this tourist business very widely on the northern part. It became a famous place In this city, everybody start to come through Kiryat Shmona and spend their money. Uh-huh. And, you know, actually, many wow. poor businesses opened. And we just blessed, you know.
Wow.
We just blessed. You know, I can say that even that we have so much problem with this, you know, security problem with this border with Lebanon and Syria and all the stuff. We just see how God is blessing. And no, why? Because we are praying.
Yeah.
We are
yeah.
praying according to the God has just gave us this plan.
Wow.
Now, how long would it take you to drive around the city?
Seven circles is about 2.5 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So for 2.5 hours, you're praying.
Yes, the whole we are time. Praying. Wow. All time we pray.
How many people are going with you?
And, you know, on the last year, God started to bring teams from other countries because I saw that God is trying to increase the time of prayer mm-hmm. around our city.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand why until we went to, one to Pastor Irene's church and we had this, all this pastor meeting from our northern part. And one pastor from Tiberias, Pastor Claude, came to me and said, you know, Adi, why it's so hard for us to serve in our congregation? You know, we are struggling with this warfare and all the stuff. I said, why? He just showed me the map of Israel. And he said, do you see where is your city? And do you see that my city is after you, the Tiberias, because, you know, in yeah. this valley?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, we are on the front line in this valley. Mm-hmm. We are first met the enemy.
Yeah.
Even in a spiritual way.
Yeah.
And then I got, wow, that's why God told us to pray around city and build this spiritual wall.
Yeah, wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Around the city.
Wow,
it's like, awesome. You know, like a standing for
wow.
Israel. No. And I said, wow, that's why. And we were crying to God. I said, God, how long we have to
wow.
pray? And you know what the Lord said us? 4 year more.
Yeah.
4 year. And I said, I don't care how long, you know, 4, 10, I will pray because
yeah.
I want this city to be saved. You
wow,
know?
That's
because,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, what you just said about the wall and how you were the first on the front line and Tiberias on the front line. It reminds me in the book of Isaiah where it says that in the Galilee there, in the lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, there was darkness.
Yes.
And it says the Messiah was going to be, the light's going to shine there.
Yes.
And, you know, it was even called Galilee of the Gentiles because it was different than the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And
I understood one thing. If you want to have your city be saved, you have to take the land. Because, you know, it's all about the spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see this, but we have to realize that we are in a war.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a war.
Yeah.
So you have to take the land. Like the God told
yes.
the Jews when he just delivered from Egypt. He said, take and go and take this land. And they have to war for mm-hmm. this land. It was not a peaceful, you know, they came and just rejoiced
yeah.
in
yeah,
this
yes.
land. They had the war.
Yes.
They have
yeah.
to fight for this land.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just have this victory and had this land.
Now, did the people in the town, the people in the city that were not with you guys, did they know what you were doing? Did anybody know what you were doing?
You know, actually, no.
Yeah.
No. We just have this in our hearts and we just
keep
in prayer because... You know, you don't have to go and tell the people.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
we are waiting for God is for God's moving. You know, we are waiting for Holy Spirit moving.
Because when you were talking earlier, I was thinking when Joshua and the people were walking around the city carrying the ark, and the people inside Jericho were probably looking out, going, "What are those crazy people doing?"
Yeah. Yeah, you know, on Shabbat,
yeah, yeah.
It's everybody the rest in Israel, and it's a challenge for us was, you know, to run because people, you know, you see once circle of second, and there's, oh, why they are so, you know, so often comes to our place, you know?
Yeah, it was
good. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes,
that's awesome. So after this, after God opened up or took like this veil or removed that oppression to minister, to preach the gospel, what was it easier to speak to the Jewish people about the Messiah or what took place there?
Yeah, actually, I was telling about this 3 years of prayer. Actually, we have this food project 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So you see, when we start to pray around the city and God removed this, you know, spiritual veil, God opened this new project and we start growing from 30 families to 650.
Okay, so it was after you prayed and
yes.
there was a breakthrough, so it went to, you went from 30 to 650
yes.
families.
Wow.
Yes.
Now,
you
did
know,
any of these families come to the congregation?
No, I was, I'm coming to this point that I was, me and my wife joined 2 years ago to Campus Crusade, and, it was awesome time for us that we, decided to join to this team in Israel. And actually, it was my desire of my life mm-hmm. to work in a Christian organization that's responsible for evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
And God know this and just opened this door 2 years ago. And it was a real step of faith for me and my wife to leave our jobs, you know, very comfortable with good salary and just be dependent on God, you know, and everything, everything.
Wow.
But we did it, and I you know, say for every day, praise God that he just allowed us to do this.
That's awesome. I know we don't have a lot of time left, so do you think you could come back and be with us again next week?
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because we want to finish the rest of the story.
Yes.
Because I'm sure there's a lot more.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more. And, you know, I recently had the privilege of being at Carmiel and being at Pastor Irene's congregation. And
yes.
It's an awesome group of people. There is like such a fire of the Holy Spirit there.
Yeah.
And I'm sure yours is as well.
We try, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if since we always advertise Paul Wilbur on the show and Stephen plays his music, and there's a song, you know, about the mountains of Israel. And mm-hmm. as we were driving to Irene's congregation in Carmiel with those beautiful mountains, all I could think of was that song.
Oh, yeah.
And how he prophesies to the mountains, bring forth new wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the Lord's doing a mighty work there that you're part of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in the midst of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Woo,
wow.
That's awesome.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So I want you to come back next week so we can get a better picture of what else you're doing there, especially with the Campus Crusade. And I know that you have a bus evangelism project,
yes.
which is really interesting, and
yeah.
we don't want to try to do that in 30 seconds.
No.
I already hear the music, so we're coming to the end of the show. Now, Pastor, if somebody wants to financially help you, help your congregation, help the projects, help the ministries that you have there, what would you suggest that they do?
They can go to your website and find a way how to make these donations.
Okay. We'll put it on the ministry page.
Yeah, that's giftofgraceministries.org. And Stephen knows how to do all that stuff, so he will fix it up.
It'll be on the ministry page.
Okay. Well, I hope you are all having an awesome evening, and it's been great being here with you. And we'll be back a week from today with the next part of the story.
Have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone.
Hey, bye.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.